Hi, everyone. This is Judy with the On Track podcast. Welcome back. If you are new to our podcast, make sure to subscribe on your favorite RSS feed. You can follow me on LinkedIn. Oh, please, oh, please. I love having friends on LinkedIn. Or at Twitter, I'm at AllTeamJudy. And as far as AllTeam goes, you can follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, or Facebook. So today I am at DesignCon 2018 at the Santa Clara Convention Center, and I'm delighted to have my dear friend, Bert Simonovich, who hails from Canada. And so we're gonna chat with Bert today about the paper he submitted and all the things he's involved in. And I also wanna share with you about our fun history and how Bert and I got to know each other. So Bert, welcome to our podcast. And we only get to see each other maybe once or twice a year, but I'm always so happy to see you, Bert.
And likewise, Judy. I'm glad you showed up this year.
Yeah, and I'm glad I could get you. Last year I couldn't get you because you were so busy with your papers and everything. You were just, you were booked to the gunnels last year, so I'm glad we got to run into each other. So to give you a little bit of background about Bert, well, let me start from when Bert and I met. So what was it,
2010 or 11?
10, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So Bert was sort of in a transition period in his career, and we met on LinkedIn, and then we actually met at the show at DesignCon.
That's
and
right.
We connected through social media, and we're old enough, you know, and respectable enough in our careers that we didn't feel like that was creepy or anything. So we connected, and we met upstairs, the top of the escalators here at DesignCon, and we got acquainted and just networked, and boy, oh boy, we didn't know the number of ways that our paths would continue to cross over the years. So we hit it off immediately, and Bert knew an awful lot about backplane. And tell me again, you worked for a huge company up in Canada.
Okay, so yeah, we live in Ottawa area, and I started my career at Bell Northern Research, which is was the research and development arm of Northern Telecom, or eventually Nortel, in Bell Canada.
There you go.
So it's essentially the same as like the AT&T down here.
Right.
The research and development.
Right.
And then that later got folded into the Nortel umbrella. And I was there my entire career. It was 32 years.
Right.
Until 2009, when they filed for bankruptcy.
Whoopsie.
And then my career ended.
Abruptly ended.
And that was kind of a shock.
Mm-hmm.
But I was fortunate that I was able to, you know, we weren't in bad shape financially, so it didn't hit us like it hit others.
Right.
So I consider myself fortunate. What I missed was the day-to-day.
Right.
And not knowing what the future was, because at that time there was the downturn in the economy.
That
everything was
such a hard
down.
Time.
So it was hard for everybody, and certainly harder for older ones. And we were able to get at it, fortunately, our pensions early.
Right.
And that kind of kept us going.
Yeah. So that's right about the time I met you, not long
after that, right?
Exactly. And so you're like, what am I going to do now? I have all this knowledge and expertise. How am I going to apply it? And so, you know, on your own dime, you flew down here. We met, and I was hoping that, you know, we were just networking to see how we could help one another professionally and whatnot. Since that time, boy, oh boy.
I think there was IMS that you came up to Montreal.
IMS, right. That's right.
And then we met again there.
We met at IMS, so then all of a sudden our lives started weaving, because I was in the RF and microwave space from the bare board side, and then I was doing the guest blogging for Microwave Journal, and then you got to know all the folks, you know, or you knew those folks in that space, and then you got to know the Microwave Journal folks, who have since now launched the Signal Integrity Journal, and now you're on that editorial review board for that magazine.
That's right.
And now I think you just told me this is your first year now that you're in the technical review committee
Technical Program Committee, yeah, for
Technical Design Con. Right, for Design Con. Yeah. So you actually reviewed the papers then that were being submitted?
Some papers, yes.
Some.
Yes.
Did they divvy them up? How
yes,
did they do that?
Yes, they basically divvy it up for... There's quite a few reviewers for it.
Yeah.
And to get the diversity.
Right.
And not... And one person just doesn't review. There's several people who review the same paper as well.
Oh, okay.
So, it's not just one person of that paper,
right?
Which is good. So,
and not only is he reviewing papers, he's also submitting papers. So,
yes.
I want to say congratulations that you are a finalist for best paper.
Oh, thanks, Judy.
For I don't know the third time in a row now.
Actually, five.
Five. You've been nominated that many times, or you've just submitted that? You've been nominated that many times.
Yes.
See, so you are like a rock star. So tell us about the paper that you submitted this year.
Okay, this paper is actually a follow-up from last year's paper that I presented. And last year after I presented it, there was a great discussion afterwards. It was the end of the day, and there was no more papers after, and people that were interested stayed, and we had a good little wrap of things. And we're discussing some of my results, and although I was close, it was still, there was some doubt as to actually what it was, why there were still differences. And my co-author, Vladimir, he had an idea of that it's possibly due to causality of the metal.
Okay.
And Vladimir works for Mentor, and so we had this idea, and I had data and my technique, and we decided to collaborate and see how well it would work. So he incorporated his logarithms into the tool,
mm-hmm.
and we checked it out, and that brought the data exactly right on.
Wow. So this paper is kind of a wrap or closing the loop at the end of last year's paper.
Basically, that's correct. It's kind of a follow-up in a way.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of answers the question, right, that we were suspecting, right?
Right.
That people we discussed as a group were suspecting. So that was very satisfying when
right.
we had that. So we said, well, we've got to publish this now, so we'll
right.
do that.
So it was a copper roughness issue.
Well, it's part of modeling copper roughness,
to model
copper roughness properly and get the right model afterwards so you can do the simulations.
Isn't that hard? I mean, it seems like copper roughness, which is the roughness, for anyone that's not clear on this, of our listeners, copper roughness is between the laminate and the copper, not on the top side of the, it's on the bottom side
right.
where it's being bonded to the laminate.
Right.
But it's not always the same.
No, the thing is with roughness, from a PCB manufacturing perspective, the rougher the better.
Right, because it's adhesion.
Peel strength.
Peel
exactly.
strength, right.
Nowadays, for high speed, past 10 gigabit now, everything starts to matter.
Right.
And now people are talking 25 gigabit, 56 gigabit.
Right.
All this stuff lost now becomes a factor. So it turns out the rougher the copper, the higher the loss.
Right.
So how do you model that? If you don't model it correctly, you can't simulate it in advance.
Exactly.
So you need modeling techniques and accuracy. So there's been different models out there. One that's been very popular is the Hooray model that was presented back in 2010, because I remember going to that presentation and knowing
nothing. Tell me how to spell that, because I'm kind of a visual person. Hooray?
H-U-R-Y. Hooray.
Oh, okay. Hooray.
H-U-R-Y.
Okay.
And that's basically, it was dubbed the Hooray Snowball model, because when you look at the roughness profile under an electron scanning microscope, it looks like a stack of snowballs.
Okay.
Type of thing.
Uh-huh.
And that's where it got coined, the snowball model. But
okay.
It's the Hooray model. And it's very accurate. It's shown that you get very good results measured to simulation. The problem was where do you get the parameters to feed that model? Back then, to get it, if you tuned the parameters, you can get an excellent fit. mm-hmm. to the loss. But that doesn't help for tools. Well, how do I get that? Unless you're building a board, measuring the board to get the parameters so you can use those again if you're going to build that same geometry in a new design.
Right.
So that's very time consuming, pretty accurate, but not practical for smaller companies. If you need an answer now rather than a good answer later, as Eric Bogdan always says, that never helps you. And
right.
So one of my early contract position, because I started going in consultancy after Nortel, one of my clients, they wanted to do some analysis on dielectrics, but they also wanted to include the roughness, and I knew nothing about the roughness at that time, so I started to do my own research into this so that I can try and do the work, and found that it was all over the place in a way. Anyway, I completed the analysis, what they were wanting, based on what I knew at the time, and it was okay. But that seed sort of stuck. So I started, once you get an interest in something, then try to go further and further. So it's been a pet project of mine. So I decided to think about the Hooray model and say, well, is there a way to get these parameters based on data sheet value only? If I know the roughness from a data sheet, the height of the roughness, can I get the radius and stuff? So I thought about it, and I thought about, okay, this stack of spheres. So
right.
If I stack them up, can I determine the radius of the sphere from that stack? So, you know, it's basic geometry of things, and eventually you can get that number if you know this height. So I thought, just out of curiosity, I'm going to try it. And when I did, I got reasonably good results almost right off the bat.
Oh, nice.
I mean, not perfect, but...
Right.
And I can tweak things a little bit more, right? And
mm-hmm.
I'm saying, okay. And that's how it kind of began. So it's been over kind of a few years, off and on. I did a paper earlier in 2015 where I first presented some of it. And that was quite successful. And every year it's been kind of incremental and testing it against other data. And then eventually other software came out, like Symbior. I tried it with that. And I started having success with the model there. And that was great. So it kind of went. So lately after that, then I started thinking about I'd never get the actual delay property. So in order to model things right, you need... proper loss, and then also the delay proper, or the phase. So then I thought, well, perhaps how does the roughness come into it? Because I noticed the rougher the copper, I get different phase for the same material. Anyway, so I worked out some things, and that's what last year's paper was about, to correct the dielectric constant due to roughness. It was really last year's paper. And so that worked out very well. And when I correct that, I get very good results with it. So that's, in a nutshell,
wow,
how I got from there to here.
And so it. I know you've worked also with Polar Instruments. Tell us about how that came about.
Yes. Yeah, so last year, Polar had introduced the Hooray model into their tool.
Okay.
And... I hadn't really met Martin, but in his newsletters, I always got it. And he announced that they were going to come out with the Hooray model in their Polar tool. So I emailed Martin and said, look, let me check it out to see how well it works. So they gave me a trial thing just to check it out, and I tested it out against my data. And there was just a couple of hiccups, but we sorted them out, and now the tool, it's a great tool. For we can get the parameters now basically from data sheet to fill in. So we've dubbed the model really like a Cannonball Hooray model, because it's a combination of both.
Okay.
So.
Well, Martin spoke, I think I shared this with you early, that in October, Martin Godian from Polar presented a talk at Altium Live in Munich, and I was chairing the room he was in, and he pulls up this stack of cannonballs, and you and I hadn't talked about this, and then he starts citing all this work by Bert Simonovich, and I about fell out of my chair. I'm like, my friend Bert? So I really love that, Bert, you've like been such a collaborative force sort of in this industry about these models, and you know that you reached out to talk to Polar and really made it better, you know, not so much in a self-serving way, but it's good for the industry, really. It's good for designers, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And so I really appreciate that generosity of spirit that you have, and it's what I liked about you when I first met you, and here we are all these years later. Who knew?
That's right.
So what's next, Bert? So tell us, okay, first of all, where can our listeners find your papers? Because I'm sure they'll want to get their hands on those.
Yes. So I publish papers that I've published, I have on my website my company is lamsiumenterprises.com.
Okay. Spell that for us, because I think it might be obscure on the audio.
Yeah. So it's Lamsium, L-A-M. S-I-M, as in Mary, enterprises.com.
Okay, very good. And we'll try to put that in text somewhere related to this podcast so folks can find that. And then they can find your consulting services there as well, but then find all your papers there. Does DesignCon aggregate the papers that come out of the show?
Oh, yeah, they have the proceedings.
Oh, the proceedings, okay.
Right, but...
But only the attendees get the proceedings, right?
That's
or do
right.
They, okay,
yeah,
right,
if
right,
you,
right.
Registered attendees if
right.
you register.
Right, so anyways, so they can come to your website is the bottom line.
Right, so for my papers, I have my papers that I've published on my website.
Great.
And it's not just DesignCon, I've also done EDICon papers, and... that's part of Signal Integrity Journal.
Right.
It's an offshoot of that, is EDICon.
Right.
And I've attended that the last 2 years. They were the first two, so they're in Boston.
Yep.
And that was a great time. Actually, you went to the first one
I
there.
I did. I went to the first
right.
one there. I can't believe how our lives have
that's right.
just become crossed
that's
our
right.
paths so many times. We just then, met each other here. Hey, and then
you
next
got,
thing you know.
And you met my
I
wife.
I met your wife.
That's right.
It was so
we
sweet.
We went on that, that trip.
Oh,
there.
That trip. Yeah. Bert and I got to go. Was it Keysight that sponsored
yeah,
that Keysight really neat
to
party?
Boston, to the Fenway.
Fenway. We got Park. To go to Fenway Park and have a private party at night and overlooking the fields. And they brought out their, what are those? I'm such a sports nut.
Well, the trophies.
The trophies. What are they called? From the World Series.
World Series trophies.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The World Series trophies. They brought those out so we could, you know, take photo ops with that. And we had great food. And we got to take over Fenway for a few hours. And I met Bert's wife, who was a doll. And we had a great time. So who knew, Bert, when we met?
Yeah, exactly.
How many times
it's
our,
just,
you know, paths would cross. But
I think that's what DesignCon in general is about, is networking, meeting new people, learning new things, spreading the seed of papers. Like I was mentioning, even last year's paper, then Rogers took that and then confirmed the data or the theory part of it.
Uh-huh.
And then they presented results this year.
It's such a great collaborative effort. And I don't know, I find it very refreshing because usually like, well, I have a secret, and if you give me a lot of money, I might tell it to you. Like, this is much more a very open-handed collaborative. I liked what you said earlier today, too, which was like, somebody will present something, and then an offshoot will take off, and, you know, it'll take off, and then someone will build on that and bring it back to something else.
That's
so
right.
It's really the industry coming together and collaborating.
That's also for mine, like 2010 with the snowball model.
Right.
Who knew?
Who knew?
That room was packed to the rafters and out, that presentation.
Wow.
From Paul Hure and Eric Bogerton. And he presented that year, and I was just dumbfounded, and I'm going, I don't understand it, but that's cool. And but who knew that would be the seed for my work, my research work and things.
And then went into Polar, into Rogers.
Exactly.
Into, it's just like an exactly. idea that sprung legs.
And that's just my example.
Right.
Right?
One example of many.
Of many. You just look around. Uh-huh. And like Eric likes to say, come drink from the fire hose. That's design con. Right? That's what
right.
it's like.
Yeah.
Like there's so much stuff. And it's there. And you just... You know, it's just a great place for that kind of thing.
It is a great show. So a couple closing items. Number one, what would you say for circuit board designers are some of the kind of greatest challenges they're facing today, you know, looking forward into emerging technology? Is there any, like, specific one or two things maybe that are sort of plaguing them at this point, or things maybe they need to onboard and that they...
Just in general, as the speeds are going up, the actual material properties are really becoming a factor. A big thing is, you know, fiber weave. Talk a lot about that.
Yeah.
Fiber weave effect. And the industry is looking to how to mitigate that effect. A lot of nice papers over the last few years talking about
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, there's a lot of things on the roughness, getting good modeling, because it's important now. And now with everything, like the new standards, PAM4 standards, 56 gigabit, the margins are tighter. So fabricating boards is more demanding.
That ain't what it used to be, I can tell you. You know, I started in the board fabrication industry in 1984. Oh my gosh, that seems like such easy stuff compared to today. I was just speaking with John Bushy from ASC, and I said it used to be you got your board, your fab drawing, you had your sort of mechanical, here's the size of the footprint, this is the size of the trace, plus or minus this, and off to you, the races you go. And now it's like a board fabricator has to think about everything they're doing and how that is going to impact. You can, at a board shop, make a board and be well within IPC standards, and it's still not performing to the designer's intent.
I think it's not just the board shop. I think sort of the industry as well, to specify what you want properly in your fabrication notes.
So that what you fabrication get, notes?
No, but...
You know, what I'm saying is documentation, I think, is an issue.
Yes, and the thing is, what I'm... seeing is, if you want consistent results and you want to know, you have to nail down your design. Basically, you need to nail down, not allowed to let the fabricator substitute material for different weaves, for instance.
Right.
If you have a stack up that you first designed, it's got to be included that verbatim on the fabrication notes,
mm-hmm.
that you must use this material.
Right.
This weave, you
right.
can't substitute. And, you know, you can't play around with all the line widths and space to do things different. By specifying things on the notes, that restricts what they can do anyway.
Right.
But you should end up getting what you want that way.
Right.
Otherwise, you may not.
Right. And you had told me earlier in your consultancy business that you will talk about, you know, modeling, certainly, but then you also give them the added benefits of sort of giving them some guidelines of how to spec in these.
Yeah, so typically when a lot of my business is design reviewing boards before fabrication,
mm-hmm.
after they do the design, like Altium board designer would lay it out. So now there's a design review at the end.
Right.
So some of the clients... they'd like to get some review over that visual review. And I do that sort of thing for them. But as part of that, I review the stack up, even from the board shop, because the stack up, people are human, could make an error.
Right.
Typo, or a lot of times they're just templates and they don't cut and paste properly or something, right?
Right.
And it may not be correct. I haven't found anything that wasn't correct.
Right.
But I do that anyways, just check it.
Right.
Double check that the impedance is correct and things. But on top of that, I also say that I'm going to review their fabrication notes so that, you know, to ensure there's consistency there. And usually I find that a lot of these are smaller companies and things, or startups. They're not aware of what's sort of needed, or they have one set of fab notes and they have the same design all over. They just use it over and over, but that could add confusion in the shop.
So yeah, absolutely.
At the end of the day, part of the thing is part of the design review. It's also part of a bit of educating as well to some clients.
Absolutely.
So they realize some of the importance.
Yeah.
You know, and they appreciate that.
It's and it is so sorely needed, Bert. Like, and people don't, like you said, especially smaller companies, right? They don't always have the resources to go out and spend endless hours in a board shop getting educated or whatever the issue is, or educated about signal integrity or whatever it is. So I think what you're offering in your business and in that niche is really valuable, right? So that's great. Well, my friend, I'm going to let you get back out on the show floor. I'm sure you have a lot to do today. I'm sure you're a busy guy. So
yeah,
I'm sure appreciate you spending a little time with me, and I'm so glad we got to connect. Usually, you're getting so busy and such a big shot these days, find you.
No.
So it's been a delight to
have
you.
Actually, the reason I knew you were here, I saw you something on LinkedIn.
See?
And said you were responding to somebody, and I go, wait a minute, is Judy here? So then I messaged you last night, and I said, are you here? And then, so let's connect today.
See, there's a lesson to everybody. LinkedIn, it really is useful. Gosh, you and I have met a lot of friends through LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, I'm so glad to see you, my friend.
And same here.
And I don't get to see you enough. So,
But
I'm glad to see you whenever I get to see you. I'm not going to complain. So, best to you. Congratulations on your nomination.
Thank you, Judy. And the same to you.
And have a great show. And I'll look forward to catching up with you next time.
That's great.
This has been Judy Warner with the On Track Podcast. Please remember to subscribe on your favorite RSS feed. And we look forward to talking with you next time. And always remember to stay on track.